Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate, supernatural relationship. We've been talking about knowing Him in all His ways, in His purpose, in His presence, in His projects. We've been talking about His personal presence and about how when we know Him that intimately, what we are doing is being who we are really created to be. This is not about achieving a standard or our behavior. It's about being and doing what we are. When you've been renewed in your spirit by God, when we are not living according to that identity, that's when we're being a hypocrite. In a sense, it used to be that when you were, before you were regenerated, you were a sinner. All you could do was sin. That was your nature. But now you have a new nature. Unfortunately, we still continue on in our bad habits. But because we're no longer a sinner, it's no longer a sin. Our behavior is no longer reflective of who we are. So a better, more helpful description of our behavior that does not line up to our new nature is hypocrisy. We're living a lie. We are not living, we're not living according to the truth of who we are now. So that's a better description of our shortcomings. It's not about God judging us or others judging us or even our judging ourselves. There's a reality there that does not mix when in your spirit you are complete and whole and at rest and strong and powerful and knowledgeable and compassionate and graceful and gracious and giving. And yet in your life, you are selfish. We are selfish and weak and reliant on our own knowledge and continuing our bad habits. That is no longer sin because we are no longer a sinner. Now it is merely hypocrisy. Because we're believing one thing, that in Christ we can do all things because we are in Him. And yet believing and acting a whole other way, that we're helpless, we're victims. We don't have any say in what goes on around us. Our only option is to pray to get God to do something. Well, that's a lie. And when we believe that and act on that, we are a hypocrite. We know better, but we choose to behave according to our old nature rather than our new nature. It feels better. We may not have the belief systems changed yet. So, yes, we are definitely, our behavior is definitely a gauge of how we're doing. But it's not about whether it's a sin that needs to be forgiven. It's all about, are we living out of our new identity or not? It's pretty basic. So when we talk about his presence in our spirit, we are already fully involved and engaged in a relationship 100% of the time and 100% of who our true identity is. But we're still in that process of experiencing his presence now and then, here, now. We can set that goal that before we die, we can be complete and entire and a whole here on this earth, that every situation and circumstance that we're going through is to knock off any hindrances, to remove the hindrances, to change our beliefs, to allow God to reveal himself, to cooperate with him, rather than to change the circumstance. In what you're going through right now, ask, are you depending on the Lord? Are you depending on your own strength? Now, there's things that we need to do, but is what's holding you back your own beliefs? For instance, you may need to make some drastic changes in your lifestyle. Because of the finances, you may have to move to another state or find another career field. Rather than whining about it and complaining and being pretending as if you were a victim, that is hypocrisy. You're not a victim. If you are born of God, you are a victor. And you can then ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to look for a new career, or should I stay in this one and move to another state, another city, find another job? What do I do in the meantime? And what you're doing is you're taking responsibility, which is who you are. You are a responsible person. And by taking responsibility, you are aligning your soul and your body with who your spirit says you are. So his presence isn't just about spiritual things. All things are spiritual things. But practicing his presence, cultivating quietness, and knowing him in that still small voice is all about your present circumstances. To try to manage your present circumstances on your own will lead to failure, whether now or later. God may choose to not let your efforts work because you are depending on your own strength, and you will dwell longer as a victim than you need to. Now, God knows this and you've agreed to it, because what's more important is that you learn what beliefs you need to change and you let them go and you let him change you. The other thing that might happen is he might let you make those changes out of your own strength. But down the road, to learn that lesson, to expose those lies that you're believing, he will set up another crisis for you. This is why so many people go from job to job to job, a relationship to relationship to relationship, or health issue to health issue to health issue, is because they don't learn what lies they're believing. They will continue to rely on their own strength in whatever way, their strength of mind, their strength of emotion, their strength of will, rather than recognizing that somewhere in there they're believing a lie, whether that lie be about God, themselves, or others, or all three. If we don't believe, if we don't deal with our misbeliefs, we will continue in that cycle until we are tired of insisting on our own way. Now, we want to come to our own conclusions. I never want to be the one to convince you of anything, because then when you have doubts, you will be able to turn these thoughts away because they weren't yours. You and God need to work these things out. And we, again, we go back to how important it is to be able to have that confidence that you're hearing him, you know you're hearing him, and he's leading and guiding and directing. Now, one problem we have is we are trying to judge on how much he should be saying. We think God should be telling us, like a GPS system, in 2 miles, turn right. And God may have said, go to Dallas, or move to Ohio. And we want him to, no, give us the address. So we continue to ask. We continue to bug him rather than going, okay, what's in Ohio? How do I get to Dallas? What do I need to do? And trusting that along the way, he provides the information we need. We've talked so many times about the different ways he reveals himself. For us to insist that he give us that kind of specific information is misleading to us, and we're trying to manipulate him. So we want to be very clear about seeking his presence, that he is allowed to reveal his presence to us and guide us and lead us and direct us in whatever way he chooses. When he gives us a direction, he points us in a direction or gives us a desire, we often take that desire or direction and hammer him with it. And if we don't get the response we expect or desire, we draw conclusions that we're missing him or that we've missed him, and we backtrack and we try, when was the last time I heard from him? Or I must not be hearing from him. There must be sin in my life, or I must, you know, and we become paralyzed by analyzing and trying to evaluate where we've missed God based on our incorrect expectations of what hearing from him sounds like. Every day when we make ourselves available to him, if he's not saying anything, is that to you, as far as you can tell, that doesn't mean he's not guiding you every single step of the way. But what we often want to do is gain strength and motivation from hearing from him, rather than from our spirit within. Because his speaking to our consciousness is still an extra. He does that to draw us into dependence. It's not dependence itself. Hope you can see the difference there. We don't want to get to the notion that I was discussing this with someone and saying how we so often rely on, for instance, scriptures. Oh, if we're hearing scriptures, if God is giving us a scripture, or we're hearing a song in scripture, then that's a sign that we're hearing from God. And we were talking about that being different than the presence of God, and that he speaks to us on a moment-by-moment basis and reveals himself on a moment-by-moment basis. And we even went farther than and talked about how that there was not, that there's a distinction between his presence and his gifts. When we're talking about his presence and his making himself known, we're not talking about a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. We're not talking about his gifts. We're talking about his person. He's present with you right now as a person, as a real being. He can speak for himself. He has all aspects of personhood, of being a real person. So he finally asked, well, are you saying then that everything I do, I'm supposed to ask God? When I go in to put a tie on, I'm supposed to ask God, which tie should I put on? And my reply was, no, you don't ask, but you be available in case he wants to tell you which tie to put on. You be aware that he might want to tell you what tie to put on, what to wear, which way to drive to work. And that awareness, that's how we get to know his presence. That's how we allow and cooperate with him as he permeates our soul and our body. It's not that we wait for him to tell us what tie to wear, what shoes to put on, but we have an awareness of his presence and the possibility that he might choose to tell us what tie to put on, what shoes to wear, when to leave for work, what to have for breakfast, even the minutest things. When to make that phone call. It's not that we don't do it until we hear from him, but we have an awareness that he might want to tell us. He might want to talk to us about every little thing we do. So think about your hearing. If a door was to slam where you're sitting right now, would you hear it? Probably. If it's close enough, it may even make you jump. If it was unexpected, it may cause you to react and go down and find out what it was. But if it was something that happens, you would just register, okay, somebody slammed the door. I'll check into it later. Find out if somebody's angry or if there's a, what happened? Something broke? What's going on? But your hearing picked it up without you thinking about it. Your ears didn't need to be turned on. That's what an awareness of his presence is like. Or that's what we want to get them to be like. Right now, our ears are plugged. And so we have to work at getting our ears unplugged so we can have an awareness of his presence so that when he makes a noise, we can hear him. When his presence is trying to attract our attention, we can give it. That's why so often the illustration of his presence is a still, small voice. so that he doesn't have to shout. It's rude to make someone have to shout to get your attention. It's a sign of disrespect that that's what someone has to do to get your attention, is yell at you. God wants to be able to whisper direction, to subtly tap you on the shoulder, to where we don't have a physical sensation, a natural reaction, or even a solical acknowledgement. Oh, that's God's spirit making him, that's his presence making himself known to me. It's like, no, we hear, we know what that sound is because we've spent so much time with him, and we react. And that's what that spending time with him and really doing our homework, following through on what he is telling and teaching each one of us as a distinct project, is hearing, learning to hear, having our ears cleared out, changing our beliefs, developing those skills. So when we're aware that we're not, during the day, we're never quiet, we're never still. It's like if all you did all day was listen to loud music in your headphones all day, and then you went home and were surprised that you couldn't hear anything when people talked with a normal tone of voice. We deafen ourselves to his presence, but we can undo that. And the more effort we put into that, into cooperating with God and letting him clear out our ears, he can be gentler and subtler with us and guide us step by step. Now, in a lot of ways, we may not like that because we want to do it our way. We want to do it ourselves. We want to maintain control. But that's just your soul talking. That's your temperament. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not you. That's like behaving a certain way because you have blonde hair, or because you're tall or short or fat or skinny or young or old. Though that's not who you are. So don't act like it. You're not a victim. Don't act like it. You are an overcomer. Go through areas of your life that you've been struggling. Are you acting like an overcomer or a victim? You may have been victimized. You may have been unfairly fired, or your company may have unfairly been gone out of business or taken over by another company. But that doesn't make you a victim. You may have lost your company, your business. But you're not a victim. It's just a circumstance. Yes, it's painful and it's difficult, but that's not who you are. You're an overcomer. You'll get through this. And you'll get through it with flying colors if you depend on God. Because the flying colors is not getting through it without pain, without tears, without anger and frustration. Your flying colors are you depending on God? Or are you trying to get through it yourself? The end result is what counts. We're all in a struggle. We're all in a process. So don't be critical of yourself if you're not living up to your expectations of even what we're talking about, being an overcomer. But these are the beliefs we need to reinforce in our own mind, our own script. You're not a victim. You're an overcomer. Where are you living like a victim instead of an overcomer. And how do you get there? Lord, where am I missing you? Lord, are there any beliefs I need to change? Sometimes even saying, okay, what would it look like to be an overcomer in this situation? Identify your victimhood and then spend 10 times more identifying yourself as an overcomer. What would it look like? An overcomer would make tough decisions. And an overcomer would make those tough decisions with joy and rest and patience and confidence. An overcomer would learn from past mistakes and change current behavior. An overcomer would continue to be a giver to those around him, to himself. And what would that look like in your particular situation? That is the response to his presence. He's always present in your spirit. And when we acknowledge and begin to behave according to our new identity, his presence leads us and guides us even as we pick up one foot and put it down. We may not know it. It may be very clear to us. We may feel content. We may feel anxious. We may make 100 mistakes to one correct movement. None of that matters. You're passing the test if you're depending on him. Are you an overcomer? This isn't about the arrogances. I know everything, so I can do everything. It's instead, God, what are we doing here? Anything you want to say about this? What tie should I wear? And then just going through the process and acknowledging that God may want to speak to you about absolutely everything in your day. Remember, he's right there with you right now. In an hour from now, he will be right there with you. In 2 hours from now, he will be right there. If you're in a meeting, he's sitting there with you. If you're driving, he's sitting there with you. If you're going for a walk, he's walking with you. If you're in the middle of tax calculations, he's right there with you. His presence never leaves you. It's only our awareness. He wants to clean out our ears so that when he makes himself known, we will recognize it as him and respond. When his presence reveals himself in the most subtle ways, like a breeze, a gentle breeze we can enjoy, and it's less destructive in our lives than the hurricane that sometimes he has to send to overturn the beliefs that we've had, the possessions, the strongholds. Let's respond. Let's learn to respond to the still small voice and the small breeze that carries the fragrance of his presence, rather than making him that the only way he has to get through to us is to shout in our ear or send the hurricane to destroy our goods. Depend on him by asking, Lord, what do I do here? And then, Lord, is this you? This is what I'm going to do. Is this okay with you? It's a process. If, as long as you're depending on him in the process, you're passing the test. So we'll be getting back together again on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Until then, have a great week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.